Thank you for listening to Gateway Sermon of the Week. For more information, please contact us at igateway.org.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. And you know, last week we talked about how in the Corinthian church, Paul was trying to instruct them on how to use the gifts of the Spirit. And he says this. He says, Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. So when we talk today about the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to know this. Number one is that they're for everyone. There is no gift that you cannot operate in. It's based on the service that's needed, the ministry that's needed. And if you're there, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you to do the same works that Jesus did. And we're going to break up the gifts of the Spirit because there's nine gifts of the Spirit. We're going to break them up into three. So we're going to do three this week, three next week, and three the week after. And we kind of did an overview last week. If you want to get online and listen to those, jump online. But one of the things that you want to fill in with on your worksheet is when it talks about the activations of the Spirit, they're called spiritual gifts, not spiritual rewards. What happens oftentimes in the body of Christ is we're kind of wowed when there's a miracle that happens, there's a healing that happens. And oftentimes we're kind of surprised too. We're like, wow, what just happened? But it's not a reward for our good looks or our good behavior. Let's all say it together. It's a gift. It's a gift. So how do you receive the spiritual gifts? You receive them. You say thank you. It's interesting because in this verse here, Paul said there's a variety of gifts. And usually he started out saying that these were the pneumatikos. These were the spiritually breathed gifts. You have like pneumatic tools that are air-powered. And that's what we were saying. The gifts are breath-powered. But he doesn't use the word pneumatikos here. He uses the Greek word charismaton, which means a gift that is freely given and graciously given. It's a favored, bestowed gift. So Paul shifts the focus here from saying that they're breathed gifts to say that there are gifts that are freely given. And so the first way to receive the spiritual gifts, number one, is just be thankful. Like if you want these gifts, just go through the gifts and say, God, thank you for the gift of faith. God, thank you for the gift of healing. God, thank you for the gift of miracles. You know, I meet with a counselor every couple weeks, and he was telling you the story about a Bible study he was at, and the guy was doing the Bible study, and he was getting frustrated because there was all this noise outside. And so he goes outside, and there's this guy that has been struck by a car, and he's dead right outside of his house. And so he walks out there, he puts his hands on him, and he says, rise from the dead, and the guy comes back to life. Come on, right? You know? And, you know, these aren't charismatic people either, trust me. There was an opportunity, and God used them. And that's what we have to begin to say, listen, God wants to use me. And the way we get these gifts is just to be thankful. So can we just thank God this morning? Let's just say, God, thank you. Thank you for the spiritual gifts, God. Thank you for the gifts that you've given me. So gracious to me for my benefit, God. They're not rewards, God. They're just because you're good. They're not because I'm good. They're because you're good. So thank you, Lord. We just receive them today. Yeah. Just receive them. Yeah. Come on, let's just laugh. Just receive them with joy. Like, ha, 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 ha. All right, come on. That's good. Thank you for the gifts, Lord. Thank you. It's okay to laugh in church, right? Thank you for the gifts. Father, we're so grateful. So they're not rewards. There's great power in these gifts. There's a variety of them. And I think about, it's kind of a picture. Imagine if today after service, I was to give everyone here a spirit credit card, all right? And I was to tell you, and you can put this up on the screen, and you know, first thing I said is don't leave home without this, right? It's the spirit credit card. And all of you had this credit card, and you could basically go anywhere and use this credit card. He said, just use it as much as you want. I mean, how many are getting happy right now? Just think, you can buy gas, you can buy food, you can do whatever you want with this gift. It's just freely given for from your awesome pastor. He just loves you. He wants to give you this free credit card. And so you go out and you start using it, and you're like, this is amazing. You know, groceries, bow. You know, wow, this is great. Yes, you know, bow. And a couple times, you know, it doesn't work, and so you just use your regular credit card, and sometimes it fails, sometimes it works. And then all of a sudden, you just feel like a couple weeks from now, it's not working at all. You're just really frustrated. Every time you go to use it, credit card denied, sir. Do you have another form of credit? All right, you know. And then you get this idea, you know what? I wonder if this will work on other people. And so the guy in front of you in the grocery line, instead of buying your groceries, you just go, hey, let me get this for you. And go, and pow, it just worked. Wow. The guy at the gas station next to you, instead of paying for your own gas, you start deciding, I'm going to go, pow, do it for him. I think that's the way it is with the spiritual gifts, that God gives them to them, and we're using them on ourselves for a long time. And then we realize they don't seem to be as flowing because we're not spending them on other people as well. And then the more we spend them on other people, it's almost like we get credit card rewards or something, you know. I'm not encouraging credit cards, but hey, it's one way to spend, you know, keep track of everything. Use it, you know, like use that. The more you use it on others, the more it works, the more success you will have. Because the spiritual gifts are meant to be used. They're gifts that God wants to show his people how good he is, how much he loves people. And when he gives those gifts, he wants us to use those for his glory. So we're going to talk about the first three of the dynamic gifts. The faith, and the three of them are faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. And we'll go through each one of those today. And we'll see how far we get here. You know, imagine, I heard a pastor friend of mine, and this is what he did to his congregation last week. I thought it was funny. He told his congregation, he says, hey, I was at the New Age bookstore this week. I picked up a book on spells. And he's telling his congregation this, and he said, and I just thought, you know, it was really interesting. I thought, you know, I'm just going to read a couple of these spells. And he goes, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's okay. But he said, so many of you got really juiced up because I said I was going to read from a New Age book about spells, and you were afraid of the power that was going to be released from that book. But when I stood up to read the Word of God, none of you felt that same feeling. That's good. We sometimes don't realize the power that's in the Word of God. Like when we speak the Word of God or declare the Word of God, that's so much more powerful than some stupid book of spells. Like we should be in awe, like the Bible is ready to be read and we're going to hear it today and we're going to be changed and the words that are spoken are going to radically change our lives and we'll never be the same after we hear this today. Because that's what society believes. They believe that if they hear a spell, ooh, it's going to be powerful. But as believers, we know the Word of God is powerful when we believe that it's going to change our lives when we hear it. So I'm going to pray over you today. Father, thank you for the Word of God that's impacting our lives, each and every life here. Thank you that we get to hear it, to understand it, and let it come alive in us, Father. Let it change us. Let it change everyone around us, God, the word we receive today. Let these three gifts be activated in us for what is ever needed throughout our week, throughout our month, through everyone around us, Lord, that we will be touched today because of your word. In Jesus' name, let's give God a shout of praise. He is good. Woo! Number one, if you have a worksheet here, you can fill that in. It starts with faith. Faith is a spiritual gift. And what is it? It is a supernatural assurance that brings heaven to earth. It's a confidence that I know that this is going to take place. I'm sure of it, that when I speak this out, it's going to happen. And there are times and circumstances when you just need to declare what you want to see happen over your life and not let fear overtake you. When you hear bad news, you should be immediately speak, no, that's not what's going to happen. Let me declare what's going to happen. And your faith release is like the starter of an engine. When you speak it, it's like, boom, starts it up. How many have ever had their starter not working? Your car doesn't work if the starter doesn't work. The gift of faith is where it begins, to begin to speak that thing out. So Hebrews, the author of Hebrews said, now faith is the assurance or the confidence of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So to the natural mind, most of the world thinks we're crazy because we don't see this thing, but we speak it out. But that's exactly what faith is. We cannot expect the world to understand us, but we have to use the authority. We are created in God's image to speak words of faith so that our situations will change and not stay the same. I want to talk today, as we talk about the gifts, I want to talk about Peter and John today in Acts chapter 3 as well, kind of as a story to go within the explanation of gifts. That Peter and John, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were empowered to walk throughout Jerusalem and to see signs and wonders and healings take place. And this is normal Christianity. This is where you and I are called to. This is the calling that we have. And it says this in Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Verse 3, it says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And verse 5, it says, and he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, prior to a healing or prior to a miracle, we oftentimes need what's called a point of contact. And this is something that you'll find throughout, especially in the book of Acts, where they prayed over pieces of cloth or tissues. That is found in the Bible. Peter, you know, they prayed over something, and they brought the cloth to the person and laid it on the person, and that person was healed. Sometimes there's a scripture, there's a word of knowledge that is given. And sometimes that word, like there'll be times when I'm praying for people and I'll feel a pain in a certain part of my body, and I'll say, is anyone feeling pain in this area of their body? There's other times that there'll be a point of contact, whether it's through, like you said, the word of knowledge, or what did they say to the person there? Said, look at us, look at us. So it's drawing attention to something that will release the miracle. But what was the man's first expectation from Peter and John? What did he expect from them? Silver and gold, right? He expected something in the natural. And friends, as a church, you know, people are going to expect something in the natural for them, but let's give them something supernatural. Like, why not? Let's give them something supernatural. And what happens is we, as believers, we've been good at giving people in the natural what they need, but we're called to give people the supernatural, aren't we? We are called to do this. And I like what it says. It's time that the church has more to offer the world than just silver and gold. Like, silver and gold is good. It can help people. But what are we on earth for? What are we here for? Like, the unbeliever can give them silver and gold. We can give them true riches. We can offer that to them. Why? Because we have the gifts of the Spirit. The word charismatic means to be gifted with spiritual gifts. So if anybody says, are you charismatic? Yes. You want gifts from God? Yes. Let's all say that together. I am charismatic. Let's say it together. I am charismatic. Oh, no. Uh-oh, what are they going to think of us? That just means I have gifts, and I want to use them on you, all right? You know, we're called to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. But unfortunately, we've just been visiting the sick, attending funerals, paying hospital bills, and hosting anger seminars. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to step up. Like, this is what we're called to do. And those other things are good. Those other things are good, but they're in the natural realm. Let's step into the realm of the supernatural, and this is for all of us to step into that realm. Not just for me, it's for every single one. It's for our children to step into the realm of the supernatural. It's for the gifts of the Spirit to be used in our life. And I like what Peter says. He says, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. So he had the gift to give them. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had what was needed for the situation. So the first gift is faith that we're talking about, a supernatural assurance. Peter had that assurance that when he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, it would happen. And it did. The second gift I want to talk about is the gift of healings. And this is a release of supernatural power for certain areas of the body or for certain conditions. When we look at this word in the Greek, it's charismata iamaton. And this is actually, it means charismatic healings. And when we've studied this, scholars have been stuck at the idea that this isn't just the gift of healing. This is the gift of healings. And why is that word plural? And they've debated. I've come up to my own conclusion that I believe the reason it's plural is because there are many in the body of Christ that have a supernatural gift for certain parts of the body. So some of you are eye doctors. Some of you are foot doctors. Some of you are back doctors. Some of you are brain surgeons. Some of you, you didn't know all this, did you? Some of you have a supernatural gift in one area. Let me ask you a question. How many have seen healings take place for certain areas of the body that you've just never even thought about? Like a certain area. It's just like, I'm really good with, like me personally, if you have seizures, if you have somebody in your family that has seizures, I'm like 100% when it comes to seizures. 100%. Like, I'm shocked. Because they come back and they tell me, like, whoa, what are some of you else? What's the other body parts of you guys?
Heart.
All right. You have heart problems. Go see Mindy. Anybody else? Skeletal. Back, bones,
joints.
Okay. Again, and you may have not discovered that yet. So anybody else? Call them out. All right. There you go. So there's different areas of healings that are available to us to use. So we need to be looking and asking God to show us where. The more people get healed, the more we pray for healing. Did you know that? It's common sense. You may say, well, I believe that you know, if you want a perfect score, then don't pray for anybody. Because no try, no fail. But we're called to pray and to release healing. And if we fail, it's still not a failure in God's eyes. It's God's still pleased with us. He says, good job. Because the more we pray, the more it happens. The more you give it away, the more healings you'll see place. The more you step out, the more it'll happen. So don't be afraid to step out. Just don't do it in the way where God told me you're going to be healed, because that's not good to say. Say, hey, I feel like God wants to heal you in this area. And if they don't get healed, then what? Well, I must have felt wrong. It's okay to take that on you. And there's a way that we can go about it. But aren't you glad that we don't have to beg God for this? You and I don't have to beg God for healing. We release it. When we beg, it's almost as if we're saying to beg God is to assume you have more mercy than he does. To beg God is to assume that you have more mercy than he does. We don't have to beg God for it. We just need to release it. Father, this is your gift. You are the healer. We bring this to you. Are you guys all right? We're following along? So, all right, I'm just teaching you today. Stick with me. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the laying on of hands, because this is something that you'll see is very common in our culture and in the New Testament. And when we pray for people, we should put our hands on them, because there's something that happens through that connection. So it says there's four times that you should lay hands on people. Number one, it's for healing and for deliverance. So if you want to see someone healed, put your hand on their shoulder. If there's an appropriate place, let's say their back, or if they're having pain in a certain area, it's okay to place your hand there. If it's something demonic that's going on, we would lay our hands on them. Look what Jesus did in Luke 4, verse 40 and 41. It says, those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, and healed them. And demons also came out of them. So there's something to take place when we put our hand on somebody and pray for them. And we have to cross that barrier. There's something in the scriptures that tell us, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So be ready to lay hands on people. And there's a reason for that. Sometimes we'll also anoint them with oil, which is part of laying on of hands too. So if you're not seeing victory in certain areas, just use oil. Place your hands on them. There's times when, you know, you can, you know, just so many different things. You just got to be open to the Spirit on what he wants to do. All right, number two, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we should, or receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we should lay hands on people. Many churches teach that at salvation, you get all of the Holy Spirit you need. But I want to tell you, the scriptures tell us a little different. When you receive Christ, that's the beginning. That's like you get a measure of his Spirit. But I will show you in scriptures where after the disciples received the Holy Spirit, then they got another filling of the Spirit. And then after that, they got another filling of the Spirit. So we have to continually be filled with his Spirit. And the way that happens oftentimes is through the laying on of hands. When we look at John chapter 20, verses 22, it says, when he had said this, this is Jesus in his resurrected body, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit found in Acts chapter 2. So they already received the Holy Spirit. But then he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there was a salvation experience where they received the Spirit, but then there was another experience where they received the baptism of the Spirit. How many know there's more? There's more than just receiving salvation. There's an empowerment that takes place. And then we see again in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 31. And this is after the apostles and disciples, they were being persecuted. They were thrown in jail. They prayed this prayer and they said, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servant to continue to speak your words with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now listen to this. It says, and when they had prayed, for the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now there's a famous preacher called his name was D.L. Moody. He was a Chicago preacher. He preached all over the world. He brought revival. Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, very famous, founded by D.L. Moody. And one time somebody asked D.L. Moody, they said, why do you keep praying for more of the Holy Spirit? Don't you get everything you need at salvation? And what he said, this is profound. He says, I need a continual infilling because I leak. Okay? That's what he said. You and I, we leak. We're leaking all the time, so we should be continually being filled with the Spirit by doing the things that fill us, being prayed for, worshiping, reading the Word, being built up by the Spirit. We see that even Simon was a sorcerer, but he saw, and I'll read this in Acts chapter 8. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was being given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Now, he saw this happening. He said, wow, these people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. I'm just going through the scripture so you know I'm not just making this stuff up. This is not just stuff that Gateway Church wants to do because it looks cool. We've seen it on TV. No, this is stuff that's found in the scriptures. So I want you to be grounded to know, why do we do this? Because the Bible tells us to do this. And there's power in the scriptures. There's power in following the protocol of scripture. And when we do it, stuff begins to happen. And this world needs a testimony, needs to see the power of God. And if he's not going to use us, who's he going to use? We want to be used by the Lord, and we want the gifts to be activated. So we need to have hands laid on us to receive it. Okay, the third thing, it's when you establish leadership. 1 Timothy 5:22 talks about this. When we appoint elders, point people into leadership, there's a warning Paul gives. He says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Now, oftentimes, people have mistranslated this or misinterpreted what this one means, because people are like afraid, like, I'm afraid to have people lay hands on me because I don't want to share in their sins. When it talks about the laying on of hands in this scripture, what it's referring to is actually placing someone in leadership. Let's say that we were to take a person and we were to anoint them as the pastor over this congregation. We put our hands on them. We said, you are now established in leadership. What it's saying is when we do that, then everyone under this leadership shares in the sins of that guy or that gal that you just put in leadership, if that man's living or that woman's living in a sinful lifestyle. So that's why it's vital that we put the right people in leadership. But it has nothing to do with someone praying for you. That's how many I've heard this, altar ministry, people teach you, just be careful who lays hands on you. Don't be all, I mean, I'm not saying I would let anyone lay hands on me, but don't be over spooked out by it. Is that a calm enough warning? I don't know. And the last thing is the spiritual gifts. So if you want more of the spiritual gifts, have people pray for you to release healing, to release miracles. Have as many people as you can pray for you to see these gifts elevated. Paul says this to Timothy, for this reason, 2 Timothy 1:6, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. So there are times when people pray for us or we're receiving prayer and we get spiritual impartation. And that is something that we should be seeking after. All right, let's get back to the story of John. So Peter and John, as it says that when they reached out and they laid hands on this beggar who wanted silver and gold, we see that strength came back into him. Acts 5, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, and at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. So we see, you know, even after this story, that Peter's own shadow was healing people. How many know that's a good day? We read, and actually, this wasn't in the story, but I'm reading about other points of contact. Acts 19, it says God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. So that's the biblical basis for handkerchiefs and aprons that you pray over and people get healed. How many heard that on TV before and thought that was weird, right? It's in the Bible, all right? We are a Bible-believing church, and we're going to send out some handkerchiefs and some aprons for people to be healed because we believe the Bible, all right? People think that's strange, but no, it's Scripture. All right, let's see where I am here. Okay, now let's get back to the beggar that got healed. Let's finish his story. You guys are a great crowd today. Just give yourself a hand. You guys are amazing. I'm telling you. Best looking people come out on the icy days, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. So then we see what happens. It says, and Peter, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. So here's this man that is known to be a beggar out in front of the temple. Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Notice he touches him. Notice that there is a point of contact, and he pulls him up, and then his feet become strong, and it's an instantaneous healing. So sometimes we like to see healings as, sometimes they're continuous, they're ongoing, but when it's a miraculous healing like that, it's more of a miracle than it is a healing. So just because we don't see healing doesn't mean it hasn't happened. If it's an instantaneous thing like happened here, it's a miracle. And so we need to be expecting that. It says, verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So there are times that God wants to show us his supernatural power, but he's looking for us as the vessels to begin to release these gifts on people. We have faith that we can release. And there's different measures of faith. Some of you have great faith for salvation, but you haven't stepped over to have more faith for healing yet. Some of you have great faith for healing, but for finances and for business, you don't have a great level of faith. Some of you don't have great faith for relationships, but you got great faith for salvation. There's different ways that you can apply your faith, and it's learning how to apply your faith in those different areas that you need to grow in. And we all need to grow. So the gifts of healing we see in the last one is the working of miracles. And this is a release of supernatural power for instantaneous happenings. There are times when God wants to do something now. He wants to do something, fix something. And it's a supernatural release of a gift that he gives to believers. When John is testifying about this in Acts 3, he says, "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So what happens when there's a testimony? What happens when someone gets healed? It's a window into the kingdom. It's a picture to say, this is what Jesus wants to do to your very soul. He wants to heal your soul. You are broken on the inside. It's a picture to show the goodness of God. The gifts were given as a benefit to those around you who have needs. Like, how many people have needs in their family, have needs in their workplace, have needs in their community? That's why he's given us those gifts. Not for us to show how wonderful we are, but because God cares about hurting people. That's his heart. He wants to see this stuff happen. It's not that, he just wants us to be powerful. But friends, he wants to release his goodness. And he's looking for people crazy enough to actually believe it. And what's the church doing? The church is taught, oh, these gifts have passed away. There was a great move of supernatural gifts that happened about 150 years after the time of the church. It was about 180 AD. It was this man called Montanus. And he had two women that were prophesying. And this was a huge supernatural movement of prophecy, of healing, of miracles. And what had happened historically is we see this move around 180, second century AD, is even some of the great theologians of the time, they began to go witness this revival of the supernatural gifts that happened 150 years after Christ died. But what had happened was, how many know sometimes in when there's things that are happening that are supernatural, people sometimes drift from a stable foundation. And there also is a lot of attack, because sometimes people are jealous when people are being used supernaturally. There's other reasons. And the churches around this movement began to criticize it, condemn it. I believe it was a God-birthed movement of renewal of the spiritual gift of healing and prophecy. But then I think the church just got over, they reacted to some of the error instead of responding. What I want to do is a Bible-believing church, and Gateway Church is a Bible-believing church, we need to accomplish everything we're called to do in the Scriptures. We can't settle with giving people silver and gold when we can see them raised up. We have to step into the level of supernatural that God's calling us to. And we can't say, oh, the gift's passed away, or I'm not worthy, or I can't do that. No, you can do that, and you need to be doing that. All of us need to set a new level and say, Lord, I want to begin to walk in this and begin to get excited about the opportunities God has for you. I believe one of the reasons God used the Corinthian church and talked about the spiritual gifts so much in the Corinthian church, because they were the most goofed up church, most screwed up church of all the other churches. And he says, if the Corinthian church can do it, Gateway Church can do it, right? I believe that. And he's just looking for people to say, you know, I'm going to step into it. That crazy preacher out there, he's using the Bible. He's using the Scriptures. And the Bible says, let everything be done in decency and order. Do it. Let it all be done. Do it decently in order, but don't forget, we've got to do it. People are hungry for the supernatural. They're hungry for miracles. They're hungry to see. They believe that if God can't do miracles, he's not God at all. What did we sing today? God of miracles, come. Right? We sing about miracles. I think God gets so happy, like, oh, finally somebody's believing me for who I really am. Really. Like, he's excited. We, you know, church, all church sing, he's loving, he's kind. But they don't see him as a God of power as well. And God's just not into power, he's into empowering. And people want to see the power of God. How does the power of God happen? Through his Holy Spirit. We get filled with his Holy Spirit. and by being filled with His Holy Spirit, it's not that we become controlled. It's not like we lose control of ourselves. These are not... If I gave you a gift and you hurt yourself with it, it wouldn't be a gift. Or if I gave you a gift and you were scared... If you hated clowns and I gifted you a clown, that's not a gift. Any clown haters in here? Happy birthday. No. That's not what God's doing with the spiritual gifts. Now you're going to learn how to use the spiritual gifts. Where do you learn? Here. Practice. Practice on people. All right? 72 Westwood. Okay? That's what I had last night before I went to bed. 72 Westwood. Does that mean anything to anybody? I'm practicing. 72 mean anything to anybody? Westwood mean anything to anybody? Okay, I'm experiencing failure. That's okay. No, it's really good. Because, you know, again, some of you, and maybe write that down, all right? And if you run into 72 Westwood, I have no idea what that means. Tell me, all right? I don't mind failing because then I can encourage you to fail. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, what do you mean? It's okay. That's what I heard. People need signs. And people need to be okay to know that Chris isn't got this supernatural connection all the time that he knows everything about everyone. Chris doesn't. But there are times when God will use me and use the people in this body for supernatural things. But it doesn't mean we're more spiritual than you. We just learned how to be a better receiver, maybe. Right? We've learned how to receive this thing. Because God gives gifts to everyone, all of you. Supernatural gifts, working of miracles. Let's begin to thank God for a supernatural faith, supernatural healing, supernatural miracles. Let me close with these few statements. Some people use this scripture, Matthew 12. Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign." All right? He said that. Jesus did say that. And what did he say? He said, "But none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonas." Who's he speaking to? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? But then we also read in John where it says, "So Jesus said to them, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." So we hear both of those statements that are being made. Some people need to see a supernatural sign to believe. And how's God going to do that? He can do it without us, but he also wants to do it with us. How many want to be a sign for someone? They say, "Wow, I believe in God because of the word that you shared with me. I believe in God now because you stepped out and reached out to see the goodness of God and bring healing to me. Or you interpreted my dream. Or you did that supernatural thing." I want you guys to get hungry for these things. I want you to be thankful for the miracles and the signs and wonders. Because this is exactly what happened to the early disciples. Acts 5:12. It says, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles." So let's stand together. All right. Now, show me your hands. Let me see your hands this morning, okay? I want to speak to our hands this morning, okay? We're going to tell our hands that these are miracle-working, healing hands.
Yes, thank you.
All right? So let's declare this. I have
miracle-working,
healing-empowered
hands
to be used
to bring people to Christ,
to bring supernatural happenings,
to bring healings,
and to bring miracles
to my family,
to my community,
for the glory of Jesus.
Thank you
for these supernatural gifts.
We love you, Father.
We love who you are.
Now, Father, I release right now your Holy Spirit right now upon every believer, God, over this group, God, that they are empowered, that they are mighty, they are strong. Lord God, that they are walking in the supernatural power of the kingdom of God. There is nothing that is impossible for this group of people, Father, that you are releasing your Spirit upon them. We're just releasing the gifts of the Holy Spirit right now upon this group of believers. We just declare increase right now, increase for the impossible, that you're a God of impossibilities. And right now, we just release all these possibilities right now over every believer. We just activate the supernatural gifts in these hands, God, to bring healing and restoration and deliverance, God.
Yes.
Deliverance, God, to many. We just bless what you're doing in this group, God. We bless what you're doing in this group of people. Stir it up this morning, God. Stir it up, God. More, God. More of you. More of you, God. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up, Lord. More of you, God. More of you. We just activate the gifts of your Spirit today. God of miracles, come. Reveal your supernatural power through your people, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.